ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Text 23 from Canto 9, Chapter 16. Tatashchava Britasnana Vidho Tashe Shakirmisha Sarasvatya Maha Nadyam Reje Vya Bra Ivangshurap Ivangshuman Tatashchava Brita Snana Vidho Tashesha Kilbisha Sarasvatya Maha Nadyam Reje Vya Bra Reje vyabhra ivangshuman. Tataha, thereafter. Cha, also. Avabhrita snana. By bathing after finishing the sacrifice. Vidhota. Cleansed, ashesha, unlimited, kirbishaha, whose reactions of sinful activities, sarasvatyam, on the bank of the great river Sarasvati, mahanadyam, one of the biggest rivers in India, Reje, Lord Parashuram appeared, Vyabraha, cloudless, Iva Angshuman, like the sun. So we're going to go back a bit because there's some purports, the verses without purport. We'll go back to 20. We finished yesterday with 19. So it starts with thereafter. So what's preceding this is Parashuram went on a rampage, not only killing the sons of Kartavirya-arjuna who killed his father, but, you know, it must have taken some time, but he traveled all over, and 21 times is killing Kshatriyas like anything. Thereafter, Parashuram joined his father's head to the dead body and placed the whole body and head upon Kusha grass. By offering sacrifices, he began to worship Lord Vasudev, who is the all-pervading supersoul of all the demigods and of every living entity. No purport. After completing the sacrifice, Lord Parashuram gave the eastern direction. He's giving away the earth planet. To the Hota, this category of the priests that performed the yajna, as a gift. The south to the Brahma, the west to the Advaryu, the north to the Udgata, and the four corners, northeast, southeast, northwest, southwest, to the other priests. We gave away the planet. He gave the middle to Kashyapa and the place known as Aryavarta, to the Uparashta, another category of priests. Whatever remained, doesn't sound like there's much remaining, he distributed among the Sadasyas, the associate priests. And the purport, one sentence says, the tract of land in India between the Himalaya Mountains and the Vindhya Hills is called Aryavarta. So the Vindhya, we all know the Himalaya Hills, Himalaya Mountains. The Vindhya stretch from Uttar Pradesh down to Madhya Pradesh. I know that because we heard from Valmiki Ramayana that Chitrakoot is a mountain peak on the northern end of that long range of mountains, the Vindhya Hills. And they're less tall than the Himalayas, but they're big mountains. So the tract of land between the two is Aryavarta, the place where Aryas reside. Then this morning's verse, thereafter, so we already heard of thereafter, that was text 20. After the killing, he did the yajna, then after the yajna, having completed the ritualistic sacrificial ceremonies, Lord Parashurama took the bath, known as the Avabritta Snana, standing on the bank of the great river Saraswati, cleared of all sins, Lord Parashuram appeared like the sun in a clear, cloudless sky. It point out in the verse, the second line, Kilbishaha. Kilbishaha is the reactions to sinful activities that comes as a result of the performance of these yajnas, purport. Yeah, in text 20, the word for sacrifice is makai, and commonly, makai, go say conventionally, makai is used for demigod worship or rituals, sacrifices that are propitiating the demigods. The same term is used in this case for worship of Lord Vasudeva because convention is a misunderstanding of the real purpose of sacrifice. The real purpose of sacrifice is satisfy Vishnu, or in the terminology here, sacrifice of Vasudeva. Let's hear, purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Yagnartat karma non yatra lokoyam karma bandana. Quote, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. Referring to the verse, karma bandhana refers to the repeated acceptance of one material body after another. The whole problem of life is this repetition of birth and death. That's from Bhagavad Gita chapter 13. The four problems of material existence, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshanam, that message from chapter 13. this is an item of knowledge to know. That's the problem. Birth and death, and in between, old age and disease. But the bondage is due to karma, karma bandhana. Therefore, one is advised to work to perform yajna meant for satisfying Lord Vishnu. Interesting sentence next. Although Lord Parashuram was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he had to account for sinful activities. We'll come back to that. Anyone in this material world, however careful he may be, must commit some sinful activities, even though he does not want to. For example, one may trample small ants and other insects while walking on the street, and kill many living beings unknowingly. Therefore, the Vedic principle of Pancha Yajna, five kinds of recommended sacrifice, is compulsory. In this age of Kali, however, there is a great concession given to people in general. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasaha. We may worship Lord Chaitanya, the hidden incarnation of Krishna, Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam. Although he is Krishna himself, he always chants Hare Krishna and preaches Krishna consciousness. One is recommended to worship this incarnation by chanting the Sankirtan Yajna. The performance of Sankirtan Yajna is a special concession for human society to save people from being affected by known or unknown sinful activities. We are surrounded by unlimited sins, and therefore it is compulsory that one take to Krishna consciousness and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we heard yesterday that Lord Parashuram, on the pretext of revenge or responding to the fact that Kshatriyas slaughtered his father, he not only killed those who slaughtered his father, he slaughtered all the Kshatriyas and drove them, those that were able to escape, they drove them here and there. And then comes what he did as a result. Thereafter, he performed this particular yajna and rewarded the priests with everything that the earth is made up of. And he then took his sacred bath of a vritta snana. It's a standard procedure for performers of makai, or ritualistic sacrifices. But of course, he's the personality of Godhead, or an incarnation of the personality of Godhead, so in one sense, he doesn't need to do this. Of course, he's doing this, that the higher sense is to set an example. Interesting sentence in the purport. Even the personality Godhead is obliged to take responsibility for his sinful activities. He had to account for sinful activities. Now, it's not to say, please, this is, let not make this mistake. Lord Parashuram did sinful activity. Not so. For ordinary person, other than the personality of Godhead, or one who is so authorized by the personality of God, and to do what he did was simple activity, because it's beyond the measure of, let's say, Manu Samhita, that a murderer should be given the death penalty or death sentence or put to death. That's laws of mankind. Then just to go all over the place and do this for everybody who had no part in it, it's not okay. We had this discussion yesterday, collective karma, and the world becomes influenced when somebody does something so atrocious, but it's not culpable by death penalty. They will have to endure some difficulty because of the circumstances, just like here we are in this age of Kali, and there's so much sinful activity, and as a result of so much sinful activity, there is reactions. Massive reactions that are affecting everybody because of the sinful activities. So, we discussed this yesterday. So it's not that, on the one hand, Parashuram had done something sinful and was obliged to compensate. The personality of Godhead has nothing to do. But he's setting an example. And so, setting an example, he does what he did. And emphasis in the purport, of course, goes to how does this apply to us? So the message we're hearing is inevitably, not just Kali Yuga, but any living entity is going to commit unintentional, even the best of persons, unintentional sin. And there's reference to this pancha yagya over and over and over again in Prabhupada's writings and lectures, particularly for householders, because you cook and you sweep and you walk and you breathe and you do things that cause death or difficulty for other living entities. And so, for householders in Vedic culture who weren't necessarily Vishnu bhaktas, there's this makai, this pancha yagya procedure. And Prabhupada doesn't say too much about what it is, what these five are. But the internet does, and just makes a mention. The first one is Brahma Yajna. That's worship of Brahman, and one of the ways to perform that is just study the Vedas on a daily basis. A Brahmana, or a householder with the assistance of a Brahmana, is to study the Vedas. And there's Deva Yajna, which requires a Brahmana. So Brahmanas can do, or those who aren't can take the assistance of a Brahmana and worship the Devas. Now, in this case, he's worshiping Lord Vasudeva. We heard that specifically, the Supersoul. He's not confused. He's not a demigod worshiper. But he's worshiping Lord Vasudeva, and mention of others may have been made. We don't know the detail. But he's very clear. It's the worship of Vasudeva. And then there's worship of other living entities, and there's practices, basically giving of charity and doing things that people unwittingly do because they feel charity is a good thing to do. And so, feeding people, and then there's this procedure of leaving something for insects and squirrels and something and people in your neighborhood. Of course, that's Prabhupada's manifestation of that is within a certain radius of every center. We should have available prasadam for distribution. But for a householder, there's this classic story I like. One Prabhupada disciple became married, and the next morning he was going to be traveling, so he took the opportunity during the morning walk conversation to ask Prabhupada, "Now that I'm married, what's my duty?" And Prabhupada said, "This one, before you take your meal, you go to the door of your house and you call out 3 times. Is there anyone that has not taken their meal? And after you feed whoever comes, then you may take your meal." So this nice devotee thought, "I don't think Prabhupada understood my question." So at the end of the conversation, before everybody got back into the car or whatever it was, he asked the question again, and Prabhupada gave exactly the same answer. Exactly the same answer. Then he understood, he did understand the question, he knew what the question was, and he gave him the right answer. So that's the Vedic paradigm, but the principle is for householders, Vaishnava householders, not just ritualistic householders, distribution of prasadam. So, in any case, there's these 5 duties that a householder is to do every day to compensate for the fact that they cook and they clean and they walk and they breathe and there's unintentional sin, what to speak of others that are on the borderline or even otherwise. Because as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, with every activity is covered with some kind of fault. So you can't literally, absolutely, cannot live a sinless life. So what to do? You follow the Vedic process and offer this pancha yajna procedure. So Prabhupada didn't train us in pancha yajna procedure. He didn't even identify so much what it is. What are the 5 and how do you do it? Rather, he gave us, as we're hearing, in this age of Kali, because to do these other things we require qualified brahmanas, and where do you find them? And the compensation, so special benediction for living entities in this age of Kali is very simple. Congregational chanting of the holy name. And householders should do, and brahmacharis should do, sannyasis should do, and all living entities in the human form of life should do. And that results is as Lord Parashuram did, he became cleansed. The specific mentioned at the bottom is he became so cleansed that he was like the sun shining in a cloudless sky. Radiant. So those who are purified by submission to the codes of the Vedas and following in a proper manner become purified, and using Prabhupada's language, people would say, "Swamiji, your disciples are bright-faced or effulgent." And then conversely, when someone goes away from Krishna consciousness after taking up Krishna consciousness, that brightness becomes sullen and the same radiance is not there, just because contamination again covers. So that's the emphasis that Prabhupada is placing for his readers, the world, giving the Bhaktivedanta purports, how do we apply this understanding of what Parashuram just did? Sankirtan Yajna. So it's not a musical performance. It's a offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead of our voice and ourselves to purify us on the negative side, to relieve us of the contaminations of just having a material body and existing. And on the positive side, to awaken our dormant propensity for love in service to Krishna. So both are being accomplished simultaneously. Very simple and sublime process. And it's appropriate anywhere. It's appropriate anywhere in the world, in any culture, any language, any anything. Prabhupada would say, one need not know the language, the meaning of the mantra. It's nice to know the meaning, and it's, we encourage people to understand the meaning in an appropriate time. But even if one doesn't understand, a small child that doesn't have the capacity to understand, it's all beneficial. This very fortunate tree that's in our temple room that's hearing kirtan all the time. He can't go anywhere. He has to be here every time there's kirtan. He's hearing kirtan. Where's that living entity going after his tree body is finished? It's all benedictory. And the atmosphere becomes spiritualized, all living entities become cleansed, knowingly and unknowingly. Very beneficial. Sankirtan Yajna of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's how this verse applies to us today. Any discussion?
Could you explain more how to properly engage in the Sankirtan Yajna?
How to properly engage as opposed to improperly?
Proper mood, proper attitude, how to do it.
Well, I touched on something. Material consciousness gets restless when we do something that isn't fruitive. Like japa. What's fruitive about japa? So there goes the mind, and there goes the mind, because we're not just conditioned, we're addicted to fruitive. It's this place, it's this earthly realm. Madhye tishtanti rajasa, fruitive. We've taken birth here because of that. And what's fruitive about, on the material side, of japa? And therefore, it's much easier to get absorbed in kirtan, because it's musical. And it's socially interactive. And I get some perks from people saying, oh, he or she can sing so nicely or play the musical instrument so nicely. And so there's those fruitive things that make it easier to sit for some time and be part of kirtan. So that's how to enter into Sankirtan in a proper mood. is to park that somewhere else, leave that behind, and strive to focus on the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one of the nice places to do that, certainly not the only place, is before the deity. And the purpose is the pleasure of the deity. And it gives impetus to make the, quote, musicality very nice. Just like the cooks, because it's going to be offered to Krishna. So it should be the nicest. That's bhakti. So the bhakti principle is how sankirtan should be performed. And whether it's before the deity or in your room upstairs or out into the public or at these yoga studios that you're now starting up or wherever, the external is there, but the internal is, this is an offering to the Krishna. Let Krishna become pleased and attracted by the mood of making an offering to him. They take cultivation, because fruitive is the game that we were very conditioned by, and we just very easily go there. So put on the brake pedal over there and redirect over here. It's a cultivation. Anukulyena, for the pleasure of Krishna. And that the same applies for japa. Or just walking here and there and you're singing to yourself or whatever. It's not just to stop the mind from being distracted, it's the bhakti principle is, that will happen as a subset. The bhakti principle is what we're wishing to cultivate for the pleasure of Krishna. And then some taste. And then it's a whole other thing. Then sadhana, it becomes ruchi. But there's a price to pay. And that's parking this other fruitive spirit. Just leaving it in the parked position and go forward with the bhakti position. Cultivate that. Okay? Yes.
Maharaj, I was thinking about the situation where Ram and Sita, they get married and they're coming back to Ayodhya with Dashrath and they see Parshuram coming. So
What was the last part? And then?
And Parshuram comes.
Parshuram, okay.
Yeah. So we heard this story in the Yatra. When the sky becomes really dark and Dashrath speaks to Parshuram, but Parshuram doesn't pay attention to Dashrath, and then he's also only trying to speak to Ram. So at that time, we said that Parshuram was being offensive to
Parshuram does what?
He's being offensive to Dashrath.
Yeah.
So, like, how do we understand he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
It's part of a leela. He's taking the position of a haughty, powerful, but that's not him. He's the personality of Godhead. He just ignores Dasarath.
Yeah.
Just ignores him. It's been, you know, it speaks in demeaning ways. So it's not, that's bad etiquette. It's a leela. And part of the Leela is to show the nature of Ram. The nature of Ram is, even when someone speaks harshly to him, and in this case even neglecting or ignoring his father, he doesn't get into a big huff. He knows how to deal with the situation very expertly and speak very pleasingly. He didn't criticize. What kind of brahmana are you? What kind of lover of fathers are you? That you love your father and you're in my presence, ignoring and insulting my father? What kind of lover of father are you? What's with your religious principles? He didn't say that. He just corrected the situation. That's part of his glory. Spoken of in a number of places in Ramayana. So it's to permit him to do like that.
Guru Maharaj, you made the point to clarify that this thing in the verse of Lord Parshuram trying to become free from, or have to account for sinful reactions, even the personality of Godhead. You make clear that we can see it, you know, like common.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking also, the same thing applied to great devotees and saintly devotees, and came to mind Bhishmadev, who is one of the 12 Mahajans, and the situation he was caught in the court of the Kauravas while Draupadi is being insulted, and then there is this part of the narration is that Bhishmadev have to suffer the reaction of that mistake.
Yeah.
However, it doesn't affect at all his position.
That's
and
correct.
his understanding.
Very good.
And then we have the situation too with saintly devotees that there appears to be some questionable thing, but obviously, you know, there's so much rush to come to conclusions.
Mm.
So, the warning is there.
We should be very cautious in this regard.
Mm.
Go ahead.
Yes, I was wanting you to comment on that, you know, especially in your experience as a world leader.
Well, Kali Yuga makes offense really easy in the internet. Really fast, all over the place, unrestricted, no regard, no respect. It's just a Kali Yuga tool when misused. It can be useful, properly used, very useful. Prabhupada used technology to spread Krishna consciousness, but technology can be used in very detrimental ways. So, we should be, and from our side, we should be very cautious in principle about in the mind, what to speak of in our words and actions, judging saintly persons. We shouldn't be blind, but we should be very cautious about judging in our mind and in our words and actions. And part of the difficulty, just part of the difficulty is media, that you're going along the path of life trying to be, you know, a happy and careful practitioner of sadhana bhakti, and then there's all this sound vibration going all over the place, either physically or, you know, digitally, and it's very hurtful. So we should be careful speaking and also hearing others who are irresponsibly speaking. It's dangerous. It's so, according to Jiva Goswami, it's more dangerous than sin. And that's dangerous. How do we understand these things? Like, you know, Bhishma Dev and, you know, then people criticize, they criticize Ram, they criticize Krishna, they criticize anybody, anything, and, you know, in the name of scholarship. What to speak of everyday occurrences. It's toxicity out there, so we have to be very careful. One of the places that we visited when we were in Chitrakoot was Anasuya Ashram. And the story that's connected with Anasuya Ashram is another place in South India that we also visited, Suchindra, where Indra had to undergo sacrifice to become Suchi for his sin of having killed Vritrasura. Now, Vritrasura was an enemy of Indra, in that terminology, a demon, but he was born of a brahmana and he was killed. He was killed, authorized by Lord Vishnu. In fact, Lord Vishnu made the arrangement for him to have the instrument to kill him, because otherwise he was invincible. And he did what Vishnu said. Even with Vritrasura's encouragement, do what Vishnu said, then I'll go back to Godhead. But he had to purify himself for doing what Vishnu said. But he did what Vishnu said because of another reaction of having killed Vishwarup, his priest. It's a whole domino series of sins of Indra. So he has to purify himself. So he did. Not in Valmiki Ramayana, Lord Ramachandra did the same. He, when he returned from Lanka, he worshipped Lord Shiva to cleanse himself from the sin of having killed a brahmana. Because Ravana was born in a brahmana family, the son of Palasya. Or, in the Valmiki Ramayana, he did 10,000 Ashwamedha yajnas upon his return to Ayodhya to cleanse himself from the sin of having killed Ravana. It's a leela, as this one is. So, be careful. Well, Ram committed a sin. Or whatever. Ram made a mistake. Or whatever. Considering the supremely pure Lord or the devotee of the Lord as subject to karma. Good and bad. Piety and impiety. After Bharata returns back to Ayodhya with the sandals of Ram to rule the kingdom for 11 years under the authority of Ram's sandals, Ram is lamenting. It's Leela. Because of me, because of my steadfastness to righteousness, my father died. What's the use of such righteousness when it kills your father? And he was feeling very remorseful. the Leela. So was he sinful and need to purify himself because of that? He just made the wrong decision in the terms of righteousness because everybody was telling him, do this other one. It's Leela. Then once again, you know, elevated devotees. How do we understand that the one of the worst things is attributing ill intent to another devotee? They did this because of some intent of malice or cheating or, no, sometimes that happens. Certainly that sometimes that happens. But we have to be very careful. Very careful. We can't just be, you know, eyes closed to go through life. We have to be eyes open to go through life, but we have to be very careful. Because we're dealing with persons who are dear to Krishna. Apichet sudharacharo bhajate. So if we see otherwise, no, so it, where do you draw the line and how do you make proper discriminations between what's what? It's delicate. Certainly, the message in response to your question is we have to be very careful. We shouldn't be blind followers, and we shouldn't be risking our spiritual lives by criticizing, even in the mind, elevated persons. Can't be blind followers and can't be the other direction. Be very careful. Very careful. Anything else? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.